Well, good morning and welcome to our service today at St Andrew's and All Saints Online, a broadcast here from Malvern. It's great to have you with us, whether you are a regular or whether you are a visitor today. You are really welcome as we gather together in our scattered lives to worship God. My name's Dave Bruce, I'm the rector of St Andrew's and All Saints, and Peter Myers, our curate, is going to be speaking later on today in our service. I want to begin by sharing some words from Psalm 96 as we just let go of our own stuff this morning and as we lift our eyes to focus on God. Psalm 96 says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations. His marvellous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of our praise." And so we're going to lift our voices in worship of that great God, our great God, in the words of "How great is our God." Let's stand. I encourage you to stand and sing along in your homes as we worship God.
Splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, see how great. Time
How great is our God? And just at this point in our worship, let's just pause and let's, just in the quietness of our own hearts, offer up our own prayers of thanks for what God has done, maybe for you this week, and our prayers of praise of who he is. Lord, we offer you our prayers of thanks and praise. We thank you, we worship you, our God. Amen. Well, last week we had a very exciting message for the children about Holiday Club. And if you haven't already booked into Holiday Club via the website to order your bags of resources from Helen, then still do this week. But I also got another special message, particularly for our younger children. And that is that actually last week, and it wasn't quite in time for me to video it last week, we have started something new for you on Sunday mornings. Each Sunday, someone from the church, and today it's Ruth Wharton, has recorded a special story for you to watch, a story about Jesus. And that's on the resources, children's resources page, on the online page on the website. And I thought today I'd give you some clues as to what today's children's story is. So I've got five clues, and I want you to see if you can work out what the story is and how many clues you need. So the first clue I've got is the number five. Any ideas what the story might be? First clue, number five. Second clue is I've got a basket. A basket, which you might be able to put some things in. So number five, second clue is a basket. They're getting easier. Anyone got it yet? The third clue is some bread. Number five, a basket and some bread. This one might give it away. Clue number four is, I only got a tin of this. It's a tin of fish. Tuna fish, this is, but some fish. So number five, a basket, bread and fish. And just in case you haven't got it yet, the fifth clue is the number 5,000. Well, yes, you've guessed it. The story that the children are going to look at today is the feeding of the 5,000 and how Jesus used a little boy who offered his lunch to Jesus to feed an enormous crowd. And it just reminds us in that story, doesn't it, that actually whoever we are, however young we are, we can offer what we have to God, and God can do amazing things through it. And I want to pray in a moment for our children and young people that actually God would take what they offer and do amazing things through them. But first of all, before we do, we're going to hear from one of our young people. We're going to hear from Peter, who actually is taking what he is good at and what God has enabled him to do. And he's doing something special to raise some money for a really worthwhile cause, something that actually God would be really delighted to be part of, would be so much of God's value. So here's a little bit of message from Peter as to what he's doing and how you might be able to support him.
Hi, I'm Peter Allen. I'm doing a school project where I need to pick up a problem in Britain and take action against it. I've chosen to take action against homelessness, as there are over 280,000 homeless people and 216,000 empty homes in the UK, which to me does not add up. I am doing this by making Home Sweet Home signs like this, and I'm selling them to you for £10. All the money goes to the charity Crisis, which helps people who are homeless. If you wish to buy a sign, email me at pjallen3000@gmail.com.
Thank you, Peter. Do support him by buying some of those lovely signs. Aren't they fantastic to support a really worthwhile cause? So we're going to pray for our children and our youth now, as the children maybe go off to do their activities now, or maybe do it later, and the youth go off to have their weekly Zoom. So, Father God, we thank you for our children and for our young people. And we pray that they, like that little boy in the story of the feeding of the 5,000, will be keen to offer what they have to you, and that you would do amazing things through it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we're also going to think of something that other people are offering to bless those perhaps who are just struggling in life in different situations. And many of us will know that we've had a Malvern branch of CAP, Christians Against Poverty, here set up for the last coming up to 15, 16 months now. And Chris, the CAP Centre Manager, is going to give us a bit of an update on what's happening, what's been happening with CAP during lockdown, and particularly what there's some exciting news locally. So over to Chris, and then Heather is going to lead us in prayer for CAP and some other prayers too.
Hi, we love to celebrate with people when they're able to stand on their own feet again, to make significant steps to becoming debt-free, or discover for themselves the amazing love of Jesus. In the first 4 months of this year, over 1,000 CAP clients went debt-free, and this meant clearing over £8 million worth of debt, which is just quite incredible. But it's not just the big numbers that are important. Every individual is special, and we walk with them through the lows and the highs of their journey out of debt. In Malvern, Denise and I are working with clients through a new phone-based service. And if you or anyone you know might like some help with resolving problem debt, then please do give CAP a call on their free phone number, which is on the screen. We have appointments available now, and it would be great to be able to walk with you. We're so grateful to you too for all your support financially and in prayer. We couldn't do what we do without your ongoing support. Tomorrow, that's Monday, if you're watching this on a Sunday, then we have our regular monthly prayer meeting on Monday the 20th at 7:30. It's all done by Zoom, and you'll be very welcome to join us. And the details are on this week's church mailing. Like me, you may be wondering what the next few months will bring and whether the dire predictions in the news will become a reality as the job retention schemes wind up. All of the debt counselling agencies are gearing up for increased demand. CAP is also launching some exciting new practical resources for churches to offer to their communities in the coming weeks, which is great news, and there'll be more news about that. You may wonder why I'm clutching this angel. Well, it's actually a bell, and I'm getting ready to celebrate one of our local clients who is very close to becoming debt-free. So hopefully in a few weeks' time, she will be in a place where we can celebrate with her and make a load of noise in celebration for her and in praise to God for her becoming debt-free. So can you be ready and find something that you can make a noise with? And hopefully in a few weeks' time, in one of these services, we'll be able to celebrate together. Thanks for listening.
Our Bible reading today talks about the encouragement of being united with Christ, the comfort we receive from his love, our fellowship in the Spirit, and the tenderness and compassion he grows in us as we seek to become more like him. And so together we come to him in prayer. At the end of each section, I will say, Lord, in your mercy, will you please respond, hear our prayer. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement and the oneness we have experienced in worship, even while we've been physically separated. Now, as the way gradually opens up for us to worship together, we pray for your continuing protection from infection and for wisdom and guidance for our leaders. We pray that what we do may not just be for our own well-being, but for the flourishing of our communities. We thank you for good news from CAP of people who are being rescued from the bondage of debt. Please keep us mindful of the needs of those around us in the challenging months ahead. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we thank you for all those who have shown a servant heart during recent months. Today we specially remember those who've grown, picked and distributed our fruit and vegetables. We pray for the migrant workers who are in isolation at Mathan and for those who are looking after them. Please comfort them as they're far from their loved ones in Romania, anxious and fearful for their future. May they receive spiritual as well as physical care. We ask for them to be restored to health and for the infection to be contained with no further transmission. And we pray too for the owners of the farm business, A.S. Green and Co. We ask that the business may recover and flourish. And we ask for all such businesses and migrant workers as their future seems threatened by new immigration legislation. May those who make the laws listen and gain insight into the real situation for farmers and food growers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. This week, the Disasters Emergency Committee made an urgent appeal for a united response to the desperate situation as coronavirus sweeps through refugee camps and war-torn countries like Yemen, Syria, and South Sudan. Lord, move our hearts to respond with generous compassion. We pray that the money donated may go straight to where it's needed most and may be used to save lives and bring relief, comfort and medical help to men, women and children whose plight is almost beyond our imagining. And Lord, we know how amazingly your love, shown by those who know you, and your word, shared by those who know it, can bring transformation in the direst situations. So we pray for this to happen. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In a moment of silence, please bring to the Lord your own needs and those of friends, family, and other people on your heart. And then we'll join together to say the family prayer which Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well, Peter is going to be continuing looking at our book of Philippians today. And we've got a very special and familiar passage to look at today, the end of Philippians chapter 1 and the start of Philippians 2, where we're thinking about, we're called to imitate Christ, to live as Christ did, to follow his example, to have his mindset, and to live a life worthy of the gospel. And just before we go into some worship before that, it will be a good chance to stop and to pause and to reflect on this last week. And just to think back and think, where have we been in the last week living like Christ in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our neighbourhoods? And to give thanks for those times where we can see how we've had the same mind as Christ. But perhaps also to think back at those times in this last week where we've not lived as Jesus would have wanted us to live, where we've not followed his example. And in the quiet, let's just come and confess and say sorry before God. And I invite you to join in the words in bold in this prayer of confession. Christ came in humility to share our lives. Forgive our pride. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ came with good news for all people. Forgive our silence. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ came in love to a world of suffering. Forgive our self-centeredness. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And just receive God's forgiveness. That actually Jesus coming, as we're going to hear in these verses from Philippians, Jesus came to humble himself, to die on a cross so that we might be forgiven. And so hear those words again. You are forgiven because of Christ's death on the cross. And so let us worship him once more. Let us lift our eyes to worship Jesus and to raise him up and to give him glory.
Is the glory, yours is.
Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bowed and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord our God. And on the third,
from Philippians 1, verses 27 to 30, and Philippians 2, verses 1 to 11. A life worthy of the gospel. Whatever happens, as citizens of heaven, live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whether I come to see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together with one accord for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I have. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing of the Spirit, if any tenderness of compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same attitude of mind Christ Jesus had, who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Ken. This morning I want to talk about unity and keep on imitating Jesus. Unity and keep on imitating Jesus. The church throughout history has been rather good at disagreeing with itself. And you don't have to consider the number of different denominations to acknowledge that. Today, as we wrestle with opening up from coronavirus, there is the real risk that division of quite a different type could appear amongst us as a community. Have any of you noticed that we all respond slightly differently to risk and have reacted or interpreted the guidelines of the coronavirus restrictions differently? Are they guidelines? Are they advice? Are they law? Or are they something else? In terms of the rules, complete lockdown was far easier to interpret, but this gradual unlocking is for me certainly, and for many, unsettling and often confusing. Are you keeping up with the ever-changing rules? Now, I'm hoping that in a couple of weeks, my family are going with another family on holiday to Scotland. But we are presently trying to confirm with the landlords of the property that we've rented about whether we're strictly within the law or whether we're okay. And are they comfortable? Are we comfortable? And are we actually going on holiday or is it about to be cancelled? We're sitting on a slight knife edge. I'm optimistic, however, that we're going on holiday to Scotland. But I want to suggest that there is a real risk of a very different type of division amongst us based on very different fault lines. In lockdown, we were all in it together. But now, do we hug or do we not? There seem to be rules for older people and young people, healthy and unhealthy. I know that there are some over 70s that are really quite offended by being called vulnerable. It's not how they're feeling. There are those who want to wear face masks. There are those who don't want to. There are those that feel safe about returning to church. There are those who don't. Someone understandably said to me the other week, do you know what, I'm going to find it really difficult if there are some people going to church and I can't because they're required to self-isolate. I really get that. That's a really true and honest feeling. There are those that are still self-isolating. There are clearly those that aren't. There are those whose families, whose children have been able to go back to school. There are those who haven't. What is going to happen in September? Do life groups meet? Do they not? Do they meet in small groups or stay as a large group? How many people can gather in one place? Do they go outside? Do they go inside? And what might we witness in the coming months ahead? Are we going to see the division in local lockdown? How does Leicester feel? How do we feel with the outbreak on the other side of the hills in Hereford? Are there those that are going to be divided by employment and those that suddenly find themselves unemployed? Are those that are going to be financial haves and the financial not-haves? The government is really trying hard to bring us all together. It's incredibly difficult. It's very difficult for us just trying to work out what it is to do church together, let alone run the country. But the reality is that many of us are being categorised and divided in very different groups. This letter to the Philippians by Paul, he is writing to a church under pressure. He is writing to a church under persecution. And today we read about Paul telling the church to, in essence, keep imitating Jesus. Or, to use the words in Scripture, conduct yourself as a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. He's saying, adorn yourself with the gospel of Christ. Or to use a phrase that he uses in the letter to Romans, chapter 13, verse 14, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is reminding the church in Philippi that they are citizens of heaven, a phrase that actually he uses later on in the letter. And as believers, as citizens of heaven, they are called to live, to behave, to speak, to dress like people of faith, like citizens of heaven. Paul knows that in the pressure cooker of persecution, the church risks being fractured, divided, and it could split. And he's encouraging them to conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And in so doing, they will remain united. They will stick together. They will be steadfast and strong and will be able to stand against the external pressures. We read in this scripture that by conducting themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, they will be imitating Christ. And that means that as a church, they will be of one mind. Paul says that twice. Of one spirit. Paul says that twice. Of one purpose. They will be a church that loves one another. They will be people who humble themselves and consider others before themselves. They will be a people who will not look only to their own interests, but will look to the interests of others. They will serve others and not just themselves. They will not operate out of selfish ambition. Okay, that's quite a list. Shall we sum it up by what Paul says at the end? Paul says, let your attitude be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is fully God, but he didn't aspire to be God. He died on the cross for you and for me. So what does that mean for you and I? What about us? Does the world see us differently? Are we living differently in this season, in the world? Would people recognize you and I as citizens of heaven? As believers, as members of the Christian church. It's not difficult to see ourselves or put ourselves into the place of the Philippians. Like the church in Philippi, we as a church are under enormous pressure, not just in the lockdown, not just in the COVID crisis, but from secularism, from religious persecution, from consumerism, from the celebrity culture, from social media, from the culture of self-interest, and any manner of other demands of our modern world. But also on top of that in this time are the pressures and the demands and the uncertainties of the COVID lockdown and the rules and regulations. What does it mean for us to conduct our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ? How do we not become divided by face masks? Not divided by those who do come to church and those that don't. Those who are happy to meet, but those who are uncomfortable to meet. How are we not divided by those who can go on holiday and those who have to stay at home? How can we not be divided by those who may go to school for those who can't go to school? How can we not be divided amongst the churches in Malvern for those that are opening and those who are delaying their opening for very good reasons? How can we not be divided by those who continue to be isolated and for those who are not? Or for those who in the coming months may find themselves out of work and those who continue to be in work? Or what about the risk of us having a bad attitude in our heart? What about those being divided, or us who could start becoming resentful of others or angry towards others, angry towards the government, angry to other members of society? Those of us who might become disappointed or critical or offended. Please don't misunderstand me. I am not suggesting that we as a church family at St Andrew's and All Saints are divided. I am not at all implying that. But I am suggesting that we need to be alert that we don't, because these divisions I've listed are very real and we are all feeling them. Right back months ago, we as church leaders across the church as a whole had started to use a phrase, we want to avoid a two-tier system, a two-tier church. And I suppose the things that I'm referring to have a risk of us developing a two-tier church community, and we so want to avoid that. I do want to suggest that there is very, very risk that in our outward behaviour and in the internal aspects of our heart, we could become resentful and divided. And like Paul is calling the church in Philippi to stay united, to conduct themselves worthy of Jesus, that is a call to you and I in this time, that we also conduct ourselves worthy of Christ. Now, in this time, I'm very aware that as a healthy, fit, young person, I personally would feel lean towards being much more pragmatic to interpreting the rules and the regulations. I'd probably ease on the much more open interpretation of the rules. But rightly, I come into line with the much higher standard that our leadership team expect for us as a church. Why? Because as a leadership team and as a community, we need to think about everybody rather than just myself. So I need to aspire for those higher protocols and approach to rules, even though perhaps I would personally tend to a more open approach. So I have to adjust my thinking and my approach. To ensure unity as a church, as a community, it's about ensuring each one of us has our attitudes and our behaviour that honours one another and honours Jesus Christ. What does that mean, perhaps? Practically, what does it mean in our attitudes, in our hearts and in our behaviour? Well, here's just a few things. I think critically, we have to keep our hearts soft in terms of the rules and the ever-changing advice that we're receiving. Remember, other people's situations will be different from our own, and we will see the world through our own eyes. We need to continue to be flexible to see the world from other people's eyes. In other words, as Paul put it in that letter, let's not look only to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. I think we need to be alert to the state of our own hearts. We need to be alert to when we get frustrated or angry. We generally become grumpy, or we get offended or resentful about what other people are doing. We need to go back to the Lord when we recognize those things, confess it, repent of those things, and keep a soft heart and remain at peace with one another. I think the other practical things I want to really encourage us all to continue to stay connected. I want to really encourage us to meet in small groups where we're able to stay connected, to call one another. I went recently, had a few days going down to meet friends in London and friends and family. And I can't tell you how wonderful it was and how energizing it was to meet people and to reconnect with people. But if you can't do that, then ring someone. Continue to talk to one another. Perhaps this week you could ring somebody or invite someone for a coffee, socially distanced, obviously, that you haven't spoken to for weeks or months. We need to be intentional to stay connected. I want us to continue to be other-centered. Continue to love your neighbour, whoever your neighbour is. Whether it's in your street, whether it's a member of the church community, whether it's someone at work, continue to love each other and think. Don't get weary of the good deeds. Don't get weary of continuing to bake cake for your neighbour, which we've all been doing for so long over recent weeks. And finally, as we are all different and our lockdown experiences are all so different, ask God today and in the coming days, what changes you need and I need to make to be more reflecting as a citizen of heaven, to be more Christ-like, to be shining the love of God into the world? How might we have diminished slightly, and where we can polish, that's the wrong phrase, but where we can brighten ourselves in the world and show the love of Christ to our neighbours? Those are some practical ways in which we can take this call of Paul's to stay united and stand against the risk of division. The enemy would love to get in amongst us and bring disruption, bring division or separation. And we really know that separation, don't we? Because we've been isolated. But how can we stand against separation and stay connected? One last thing as I finish, and it's the one that's been perhaps so disturbing for me, is the early first phrase in our reading. Paul says, whatever happens, whatever happens. It is the challenge whether life is good or whether it's difficult, whether we're stretched or we're in a comfortable place, whether we're being persecuted or we're in a place of great joy. Paul says, whatever our circumstances and whatever happens, we are to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's deeply challenging, and each one of us will know what our own lives are like and how to respond. But the call that is upon us is that whether we're in a good place or a difficult place, we are called to live a life that reflects the goodness of Jesus, just as Jesus did, even on a cross for you and I. He displayed his love for you and for me. So my encouragement is to keep on imitating Jesus today and in the coming days ahead. Amen.
And as we continue to respond to what God's been saying to us through those words, we're going to sing King of Kings, Majesty. And these words in here speak of your majesty. I can but bow. I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. And it's a way of us responding to what we've heard this morning, to say just as Christ gave up everything for us, he laid down everything for us, then we are called to lay down our all before God. We're called to serve him in response with all of our hearts. And so as we sing this song, let's sing it prayerfully, offering to God our willingness to do that, or even our desire to have a desire to do that. And let's allow him to continue to meet us. King of Kings, Majesty.
King of Kings, Majesty, God of heaven, living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me falls at your throne, your majesty.
Just before we finish and I say our final prayer, I want to just update you on a couple of things. Firstly, next Sunday, the Sunday the 26th of July at 10 o'clock at All Saints, we're going to open up All Saints for our first service since lockdown. And that's open to both congregations and any visitors who want to come and join. We have about 35 seats in a socially distanced All Saints. And so we're not going to put in a booking system initially. We're going to trust that God's going to bring the right number. And if we get more coming, we'll have to have an extra service in the car park. But if that's if you want to come and join us, then do. It'll be a said service, no singing, with liturgy and communion there. But a chance to come together in person. And just as we've put in the mailings and on the website, we're not planning to open up St Andrew's for services yet until September, at least, because we just can't find a way of actually fitting everybody in a fair way. And the consensus from our survey was that people wanted to come back together. So bear with us on that, and we'll keep you updated as developments happen over the summer. And I want to also just say, on Sunday the 2nd of August, we're going to do something a bit different. That weekend is going to be New Wine Breaks Out, New Wine Online. And many of us have been to New Wine in the past and found it a really special time. And what New Wine are doing this year is they're encouraging churches to, instead of live streaming their own services, to join in the New Wine live stream with thousands of others around the country. And so we're going to be doing that on 2nd of August. There won't be a pre-recorded service that day. We will hopefully be able to record the All Saints service that day and put that out later on in the afternoon for people to watch if they want to watch that instead. But we'd love to invite you to join the New Wine service on that day, which also gives those who are editing and those who are working hard in the services a bit of a rest for a week too. So details of that will be on the mailing and on the website, but we really hope that will be a really special time for us to go to New Wine together and allow God to minister in a special way to us through that. And so a final blessing, a final prayer as we go from here. God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Spirit lead us. May the gifts of your Spirit equip us to serve and worship you now and always. Amen. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us now and always. Amen. Well, take care. Have a good week. We continue to pray for you all. Keep connecting with each other. Maybe we want to really encourage people to perhaps start watching the service together, particularly if you want to grab someone who is normally watching on their own and invite them to come and watch it with you, and so that we can continue to have fellowship in small groups, even though we may not be able to meet together. But take care, God bless, and we look forward to seeing you next week.